We're honored to be able to serve you and worship with you and just prepare the house. And as Pastor Stephanie was talking about, man, this is a missions month coming up. There's a lot of great things happening, and not only internationally, but here in our community, our county. And so, as she was saying, through our tribes, there's going to be a lot of outreach going on in a couple of weeks from now. So you can still get plugged into that if you're interested to help serve in our community here in Henderson County. And so there will be some platforms from Waits for you next week, and the week after that, we'll follow up. But this week, we are sending a team to Brazil, and so I want to invite that team up, if you will, with me. We're going to pray over these guys. Come on up here, guys. We'll move this out of the way for a minute. We have Pastor Stephanie, Terry, we got Chris, we've got John...
We get lumped together sometimes. It's okay.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Now I've just had a brain. Oh, my goodness. All right. I'm sorry. Say it again. Chris is over somewhere. He's back there. And John. I'm so sorry, John. I'm so sorry. All right, would you guys please extend? They're going to Brazil. They're going to be a part of a ministry to help minister to people, Brazilians, who are coming in through a conference, through a time of ministry that they're the team that they're going with, and they're going to literally be the hands and feet of Jesus while they're out there in that. And so Pastor Deb and Kendall as well are going to be with them. Sorry, I was leaving them out. And so please, there's a lot of spiritual activity going on. And so please, if you will, pray for them throughout this trip. Not Chris, John, his wife Kendall, Pastor Deb, Pastor Stephanie, and Terry. All right. So if you will, extend your hand. You're ready. These guys are ready. They're extended hands. Father, we just pray so much. We pray for your anointing and your favor to be upon them. We pray for protection. Pray that you take care of everything that is on their mind back here at home. Pray that you increase their productivity, their health. Father, cover them. Cover their health and give them strength for the ministry at hand. Father, protect them in the plane ride all the way down there. Pray, protect them on the way back. Lord, give them words to speak and life into those who are in need. Lord, I pray that you give them just strength and protection. Lord, help them unite, Lord, and let them come back with such a fire to set this place ablaze. In Jesus' mighty name, can I get a good amen? I'm sorry. Brain. All right, so we do have another team leaving next week. We'll bring them up, and we're going to have these guys. Hey, guys, would y'all, next Sunday, need y'all to come up and pray over us as we go out, all right? So, the next Sunday then, whenever that is, the following, pray for us. Yeah, that's right. They're going to be here. They're going to be gone until the 9th of October, I do believe, something around the 8th or 9th. Along with that, there's an opportunity not only to pray, but also to give. And so the team that's going to Honduras is needing to take some items to some med areas, to some school that we pretty much have adopted in a mountain village. And so you can give financially through this QR code. It'll lead you to our giving platform. And then you can also give items. Next week is the last week to bring items in. And we would love to have more whiteboard markers. Listen, if you're like, man, you know what, I can't afford it right now. Listen, if you can afford a latte, if you can afford a hamburger, I mean, you could even fast one day, a meal one day this week, and you could go buy some markers or some crayons or some pencils for a child in need in a mountain village who has experienced and experiences extreme poverty like you've never experienced before in your life. Can I get enough of this? So that you can actually enjoy. Buy that, bring it in, and enjoy the blessing of helping another person in another place that you may never, ever meet, but you will receive an internal and an eternal reward, and that will bring you much gratification. And listen, if you don't know that already, you need to put that in practice. You are a part of the body of Christ, and that's what we do. It's not optional. It's who we are. It's what we do. It's part of the role of being in Christ Jesus. And so here's some more items that we would love to have. Costumes, you know, no demonic costumes, please. You know, that would be abstract, opposite of what we're trying to accomplish here. But they love, these kids in the Mountain Village absolutely love costumes. All right, so we're in our new series. It's kind of an extension of our previous series, Metamorphosis. And I encourage you, because it is all about who we are as a church. When we're talking about missions is actually what we do. Like, we are birthed out of missions. I started in missions. I started living in another country, and God birthed, literally started me in ministry in another country, ministering to others and with that passion. And so that's a passion of what we do as a church, is loving others, helping them connect to purpose so that they can make a difference. It is a very on-the-go type mentality. On the go also means being out of the box. You know, that the box is a kind of a two-way, a two-purpose, two-meaning saying. And so next week I'm going to talk about one sense of it, but this week I'm trying to break down some in-the-box thinking, because for so long the church, with well-meaning, has developed with this attitude and understanding of, I'm saved, I probably should go to church on Sunday, sing some songs. Maybe at some point I'll raise my hand or something, and then I'll listen to a talking head speak for a little while. I probably would have gotten what I'm supposed to get, and I might pray or go up for prayer, and then I'll go eat a big lunch and take a nap. And that's, for the most part, what the body of Christ has done for so long, at least in America. And so that, unfortunately, has become a trap, I think, of Satan, and it causes a dysfunction globally, because we are the sleeping giant. We are literally in a box of our thinking, which is rather ineffective, and I would say, based on some of the previous conversations we've had lately, is impotent. And so a lot of the issues of the world and society is really because the church has been confused and deceived to staying inside this mental box of who we must be. And so I want to break that down and to help you to grow your understanding, expand your thought processes so that you actually break out of the box of that old mold that may have been preset for you, and people with well-meaning, church people, try to form you into. But I want to say, if your spiritual journey is not an adventure and full of life and challenge, up and down, and a lot of roller coaster-like activity, then you aren't doing it right. And it's time to do it right. It's time to be the change that you want to see. And so we're talking about out of the box. Today is, we need to learn how to deploy. We got to deploy out of the box. It starts with a mindset. If you change your thoughts, you change your beliefs, you change your patterns, you change your habits, and then you change your behaviors. And so if what you're doing, which is a behavior, is looking like, I come in on Sunday, I might open my Bible midweek, I might do a little bit of worship, I might play a radio Christian song occasionally, and then I come back to church on Sunday, then let me tell you, that is a behavior that has been trained or learned, but it's time to break that by changing the way you think and what you believe, okay? So we're going to talk about that, and it must look like a time to deploy. And so what is ministry? We deploy in ministry. What is ministry? Ministry, it comes from this word diakonos, and it literally means to serve. It's a Greek word, diakonos, to serve. But what does it mean to serve? Well, under God's pretense, and what Christ would explain, is ministry is using whatever God has given me, whatever he's given you, to serve him. We literally serve God. How could I serve God? He's a big God. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's all powerful. You serve God. He gives us parameters on that and guidelines by serving others. So when you give life away to others, it serves him. It ministers to God when you don't just come in and sit down and be spoken to, but rather you come in to give life away. You're ministering to God. You're ministering to God. You're called to minister. We minister in three ways. We minister to the Lord. We minister to believers, because listen, as believers, we still we need ministering. I need you to minister to me. I need you to pray for me. I pour myself out for you. I need to be filled back up. And also, I'm using my giftedness right now to edify you. I'm trying to build you up. I'm trying to help change your thinking, which will change your beliefs. And hopefully over time, whenever it just kind of wakes you up, there'll be a different behavior, a different lifestyle. You'll be out of the box of your thinking. We also minister to non-believers, people who have, I always say, you know, people on the way to knowing Christ. And if we see everybody as that, then we'll see them as I'm just one step closer to them coming to Christ. And so non-believers, people who may be in the church, but they probably are out of the church, outside of the church, and they need family. They need a place to belong. They need love. They need people to walk alongside them and tend to them and help them and assist them. That's how we minister. What do we minister to? We minister to their physical needs. We minister to emotional needs. And we minister to spiritual needs. Physical. Sometimes there's monetary items that people need that ministers to them. Emotional, a lot of times, especially these days, most of the ministry we do is emotional, because you can actually never be more spiritually mature than you are emotionally mature. And some of you have a wave of emotions, and it's like the adventure of your life is your emotions, not your spiritual journey. Like the activity that you get to do with the Lord and talking with him and doing from the Lord is not the roller coaster, but your emotions are. And everybody else has to feel it. So you can never be more spiritually mature. No matter how much Bible knowledge you have, you're still not spiritually mature until you've actually become emotionally immature. And so we need one another to edify, to strengthen, and to walk alongside for those needs. All right, there's the three ways. I think you get what I'm saying right now. So we need that, but it takes the body to do that. To the physical needs, Jesus says, I was hungry and you fed me, physical, thirsty and you gave me drink, physical, needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Whenever you have done this to the least person, Jesus says, when you do it to them, you're actually doing it to him. And so actually it's a value. It should become a value to minister to others, because that value should change what you think. Because when I think that I'm ministering to Jesus, when I minister to him or her, then my behaviors will change and then I'll start actually ministering to him or her. And my habits will be using my giftedness. All right, you did it to me. Come on, I'm trying to do it to you. Oh, okay. She'll fix it in the back. They're always taking good care of me back there. Matthew 10:42. They're using their giftedness back there. Matthew 10:42. If as my representative, you give even a cup of cold water to a little child, like in my name, he says, you're ministering to Jesus. So what he's saying is, not only, how much more can you become selfless in your thoughts? How can I serve another individual? How can I serve this individual? How can I serve this individual? How can I overcome my favorite topic, which is me? The more you get you off of your mind, the better person you become. Can you believe that? And the more you're on your mind, the more toxic you become. Can you believe that? When you think about Jesus and you think about others and how to serve others, your life just gets so full of joy. And you're looking for ways to help make other people's lives better. And then to the people's emotional needs. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says this, warn the idle. See if we're here yet. Nope. Warn the idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. But listen, be patient with all. Be patient with all. Be patient with all. Enjoy the process of walking out life with someone's spiritual journey. Enjoy the in-life, the real-life conversations. They're not going to be perfect. They're going to mess up, but but they need conversation for edification and building up, for direction, for discipline, for discipling, for admonishing. They need that conversation. Can I tell you that pruning is very important for growth? We need those conversations to spiritual needs. 2 Corinthians 5:18, God reconciled us to himself and Christ gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You're wondering, what am I here on earth to do? It points right there. You're here to reconcile people back to God. You're here to reconcile also when people, believers even, are feeling emotionally overwhelmed, spiritually immature, they're feeling weak. Hey, no. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember where your identity comes from. Remember what God's word says about you. The need to be reconciled back to who they really are. And people who are not yet in Christ, they have been given the ministry of reconciliation to help reconcile them back to God as someone along our spiritual journey came into our lives in our time of need and helped reconcile us to Christ. So we turn around, our whole purpose for existence and the place you're going to get the most joy in life, where you're going to get the most of your adventure in life, is going to come when you accept the responsibility, because it is a responsibility, to steward the ministry that you've been given, which is reconciling people back to God. Are we in yet? We're there and then we're not. And then Colossians 1 says this, we proclaim Christ counseling and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Notice that it says, it doesn't say we leave it up to the church leaders to counsel and teach everyone. Does everybody see that? Raise your hand if you see that. Yeah, you see that. If you don't, you're lying. You don't want to admit it. Hey, it says we proclaim, meaning Christ's followers proclaim Christ and we teach, we counsel. That means with whatever you know, you are called to counsel and teach people, reconciling them back to God. Why? So that you, former church pew sitters, now you're going to be deployed and out of the box and you're thinking, you will stand up and you will present everyone mature in Christ. Come on, somebody. Can I get a good amen? We're going to finally have some mature in Christ believers. We're going to have a body of Christ that resurrects and is no longer waiting to go to heaven when we all get to hit. No. Right now, Miss Hattie, right now we're going to live heaven on earth and we're going to all play a part in getting everybody mature. Come on, somebody. I got some people with me. I'm going to get the rest of you by the time we're done. And so I'm going to give you 10 facts about you and your ministry. And number one is this, you've been created for ministry. You've been created for ministry. And so if things feel a little off, like I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing, it's maybe because you're not doing it from a heart of ministry and ministering to others. Remember, the Lord, believers, non-believers. Remember, physical, spiritual, and emotional needs. If my heart is not wrapped around ministering to others outside of me in those forms and capacities, then I might be missing it. I might feel like I don't know why I've been created, but you've been created for the ministry of reconciliation. And Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship. You are a masterpiece. You are a workmanship. You are not by mistake. There is no mistake upon you or in you or around you or within you. There is not a mistake. You are 100% on purpose. On purpose, for purpose. Because you are created in Christ Jesus. What? To do good works. Notice it doesn't say to sit in the pew and wait for somebody else to finish talking. It says to rise up and grab a hold of whatever the spiritual leaders are saying in your life. Hopefully it's coming from God and it's imparting into you so that your thoughts and your beliefs start to change your habits so that your behaviors start to look like it. Because we know what you believe because your behaviors will prove it. You ain't hiding nothing. And so to do good works, that's what you're here to do, which God prepared in advance. He prepared a good work, and then he said, I'm going to make Daniel. He prepared a good work, and he said, I'm going to create you. And he's going to be okay and patient through all of the mistakes and all the trials and all the shortcomings and all the consequences that come along with that, because that's also a part of your forming, because he's going to put you on the potter's wheel, and he's going to form you, and he's going to make you, and he's going to take all those impurities out of you, and he's going to build your testimony and your story, and he's going to build your ability to reconcile other lost people who came from the same or similar arenas that you came from, so that they too can be reconciled to God. That's what he's going to do with you. And or that's what he's doing with you, or that's what he has done with you. But that is good news. You also, you've been saved for ministry. You're not saved to sit. You are saved to serve. You are saved for ministry. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "It is he who saved us and chose us for his holy work." You have been chosen for his holy work. That is great news. You are saved, I will say it again, to serve. Somebody, come on, we're getting it today. Y'all are much faster in learning than this first class that we had today. I've been called into ministry. You've been called. Not your neighbor. Not just your neighbor, you. You've been called. You've been called into ministry. Galatians 1:15 says, "God in his grace," oh man, I love his grace. I need some grace. "Chose me." He chose you even before I was born and called me to serve him. Do you know that? And you're on a life journey, and he's rallying and he's hoping, and angels are rejoicing, hoping that you will finally connect with the very purpose and reason that God the Father created you. That is the chant in heaven every day of your life. You've got to get it. Ephesians 4:1, "I urge you," Paul says, "to live a life worthy of your calling." He's saying, don't start seeking, or don't settle for the counterfeit version. Don't hear from the Lord and then hear how challenging it is and how much you're going to have to sacrifice and how much comfort you're going to have to let go of. And then you decide, "Lord, I don't think you got it right. Here's my version of what you said. This makes me feel comfortable. This takes a lot less sacrifice. And guess what? I get to live a lot more in my mind blessed life than I think you have for me." That's the counterfeit version. That's the counterfeit version. Don't live in the version where you're comparing your calling, your giftedness, your ministry to somebody else who's been years in the making, or you don't know the trials and the suffering they went through to get to where they are, but you're seeing where they are, and you're like, "This is all you gave me, Lord? This isn't going to be good enough for me. I might as well not even try to do this thing." Or maybe it's so great, "Lord, that can't be you. That's impossible. It's going to take a lot of sacrifice. It's going to take a lot of effort. It's going to take a lot of discomfort." But God says, "Do not despise a small beginning." It's all you got to do is steward the small beginning. So don't live in those comparing and the counterfeit version. Don't do it. It's a waste of emotional energy. Because Peter says, "You have been chosen by God himself. You are a priest of the king." You are a priest of the king. Scripture says that you are a priest of the king. You are a priest of the king. You are God's very own. "All this so that you may show to others how God called you." Oh, brother, you don't know what I came out of and what I've been through and what God restored me from and what he healed me from and what he delivered me from. Let me sit down and tell you so that you can impart light into someone's life who has been walking in darkness. So God, you let you show to others how God called you out of darkness into his wonderful light, because you are called to be the light. Once you were less than nothing, now you are God's own. You better put a tent peg in the ground and stand on that and let any voice that tries to compete with that come under that truth. You will find a place to minister from. And he finishes with, "You will serve." We are called to serve as holy priests, meaning I'm not who you think I am. I can't live my life under pretenses of what you might think of me, but I'm also not what I think I am, because sometimes I may not think I am much, but I am who Christ says I am. I am who Christ says I am. And sometimes you got to wake up and declare that in the mirror 10 times. And then at lunch, you got to sneak into the bathroom and declare it 15 more times. And then right before you go to bed, when all the hell has broken loose in that day, you might need to declare it another 15 times. But until you get it and you can walk with all confidence and boldness and courage into whatever comes next that God has planned for the spiritual journey, the adventure of your life, until you can walk into that knowing and believing and completely 100% sure that I am who he says I am. And let nothing get in the way of that. And here's a life-changing truth that it's my primary identity. What Christ says is my primary identity. When we are out of touch with our identity, then we fail to get out of the box. We fail to minister how God calls us to minister. So we have to understand, you are a minister of Jesus Christ. I know it feels a little bit intimidating and you feel a little bit inadequate and why would God choose me? But that's what God does. He chooses the most inadequate, the most insecure, the most seemingly insignificant, because he does some great things so that people around them, around you, will say, that must be God, because I know who they are. You're right. You're right. It is all God. Number four, I've been gifted for ministry. I'm so proud of you that took your gifts test and you sent those in to us last week. You can still go to our website, look at the little spiritual gifts tab, or you can text that my gifts to 94,000. Take your spiritual gifts test, take a screenshot, text it back to 94,000. We want to help you discover and develop so that you can deploy your gifts, not for us, so that you can be all God created you to be. You to be. All right? And so you've been gifted for ministry. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. That's your assignment, to minister to one another. You need to be built up. I need to be built up. I'm using my gift to edify you, to build you up. I need you to use your gift. The body of Christ, people in the cafe, needs your edification to know they're doing something for God that makes an eternal difference. They're not just making coffee. They're changing lives. They're loving on people. They're changing someone's day for the future. The worship team, the same. They need to know that they're doing something that makes a difference. And it looks like a difference when your life is changed. And they need you to use your gifts to encourage them, to speak life into them, to build them up. If you're coming into the church needs you to stay around a little bit, edify them, build them up, encourage them, continue to do the work of the ministry. People outside of the church need you to use your giftedness. Number five, you've been authorized for ministry. You have been given the keys of the kingdom, and Jesus, if you are in Christ Jesus, you have the authority of Christ. Now walk with it. Practice with it. Give effort with it. Minister with it. Know that it is not your authority, but it is his authority functioning and flowing through you, so you can rest not only on your righteousness, but his righteousness, and borrow from his righteousness and his authority to love other people super well. That's all he's asking. Matthew 28:18 says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make. Use your authority to go and make some disciples. You're a disciple. You are called to look for somebody. I need to be a disciple of Christ, and I need somebody helping me with my discipleship. You need to be a disciple of Christ, and you need to be helping somebody with their discipleship. That's an assignment as a Christ follower, as the body of Christ. That is the outside of the box thinking. It is not the leadership's job to do all the discipling. It is your job to do the discipling. You're like, you're just trying to give me a job. No, Christ did it. Take it up with him. I'm just delivering the message of the truth for you. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, you are therefore Christ's ambassador, meaning you're a person who's not of this world. You're from another world now, another kingdom, and you're sent into this world to deliver the good news of another kingdom, to show people what life looks like in another kingdom, to show how blessed it would be if they entered into that kingdom, to set up culture from the kingdom from which you are now sent. Therefore, you need to learn about that culture so that you can embrace that culture, so that your behaviors look like that culture, so you can impart that culture. Boy, I'm going to roll today. Y'all are getting some good stuff. If you come out of here and you didn't learn anything, that's your own fault. I'm commanded. You are commanded. It wasn't like, hey, would you like to do this? No, you are commanded to minister. You are commanded to ministry. And I want to get a little bit, if I haven't been assertive already, I'd like to get a little bit assertive. We're here in a very politically hot season. You know, elections are right here at hand, and many people are confused on which way to vote. And I don't even know how that can be, by the way. But it shows me beliefs, because if behaviors are to the point where I don't know how to vote and which direction to go, it means beliefs are jacked up. Which tells me, too, that some of the hot topics, abortion, LGBTQ+, addictions, and something they're not really talking about but trying to use is like public shootings. We're acting like that's the problem. And let me just tell you, without you getting offended, hear me very clearly, those things are not the problem. They are a problem, but they are a symptom. They are the fruit that has been left out on the end of the tree of the actual problem. And the actual problem is because 87% of the church doesn't serve within and outside of the church. The problem is that the saints that God has called into ministry have yet to figure out who they are and step up to use their giftedness for the purpose in which God created them for. Therefore, come on, you can give a clap now. Therefore, when the saints, when the church is not rising up to be the body of Christ, what's left in the black hole, the suction hole, is abortion, is LGBTQ, is drug, is abuse, drug abuse, all kinds of abuse, and is public shootings. When we withdraw, we allow. And God has called you into those spaces to be the difference, to make a change. And if we're not rising up, and if we're not accepting that and owning that, I'm not attacking any person, but we've become the problem. And God put us on this earth to be the blessing, to be the change, to make a difference. And so it's on every one of us. It's not on church leadership. It's not on a few. It's on every one of us. Matthew says this, your attitude must be like my own, for I, the Messiah, did not come to be served. So many people are coming into the church to be served. That's okay for a little while, but you better get it all and get with it and start waking up and start serving somebody. Start serving somebody. Start figuring out who you are in Christ. Again, Jesus said in Matthew, go therefore make disciples, teach them to observe the things that he has commanded. Colossians says, take heed to the ministry you've received from the Lord, fulfill it. You've received a ministry, take heed. It's like somebody keeps throwing you footballs and you're standing there getting hit in the head by them. When are you going to catch that thing? And then run with it. Man, my head hurts all the time. It feels like I just keep getting hit and, you know, beat up. Catch that thing. Run with it. I'm to be equipped for ministry. I'm glad you asked for that. That's what we're here for. I'm to be equipped for ministry. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he himself, that's Christ, Christ Jesus gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? Not to do the work of the ministry and hope that one day the saints would rise up and we just hope they make it to heaven. No, it's so that we would equip the saints for the work of the ministry. We're here to equip you to do the work of the ministry, to answer your calling, to catch that ball and run with it, to get a hold of your thought patterns so that your behavior patterns change, so that you can become the very change that you wish some politician or some other leader would make in this world. They will never do your job that you are called to do. Okay. Number 7, you're equipped. Come on now, work with me. We're in a cycle. I feel like we're stuck in the. This is very prophetic. This is very prophetic, by the way. The church is stuck in a cycle, just going round and round and round. We go, hey, listen, 8, the body of Christ needs my ministry. The body of Christ needs you. I'm like, oh, they don't need me. No, 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 you are very needed. Oh, somebody else will do it. Not in this generation, they won't. Oh, you know, it's okay. It'll be okay without it. No, we'll never be all we can be without you being who you're called to be. That's the body of Christ. Oh, I don't need my leg today. I'm just going to hop around on one. Try that. Because without getting busy and getting involved, that's what you're asking the body of Christ to do. I mean, I'm not attacking anybody. I'm just saying there's a problem. And the problem is the inactivity and the lack of engagement in the body. Number 9, I am accountable for ministry. I'm accountable. I am accountable. Romans 14, 12 says, so then each of us will give an account of God himself. Of himself to God, rather. You'll give an account. Paul says it this way in Corinthians 5. He says, it talks about the bema of Christ. And here's what it is. If you're in Christ, God the Father is going to be saying, man, thank you so much. The blood of Jesus redeems you, it washes over you. You are in. And then Jesus is going to be standing right after that. You're going to walk up to Jesus, and that's called the bema. And Jesus is going to ask you, what did you do with what I gave you on earth? And you don't want to be caught sitting there thinking, I showed up to church and I listened to the pastor. What did you do? He's gonna, what did you do with the blessings that I gave you? What did you do with the career that I gave you? What did you do with the giftings that I gave you? What did you do with the influence that I gave you? What did you do with the favor that I gave you? What did you do with all that the health that I gave you? What did you do with everything I gave you? And can you confidently, right now, boldly and courageously stand there and say, man, I can't wait to get to the bema because I'm gonna give Jesus my scroll and we're gonna be so proud of each other. He's going to put my list up on the refrigerator. Because if that's not the case, it may be a time to start discovering your design, your giftedness, started getting actively involved in this thing called the body of Christ. Because if you truly believe you're in the body of Christ, this is who you'll wake up and become. Because this is what God has called the body of Christ to be. Number 10, I will be rewarded for my ministry. You will be rewarded in heaven. If you believe hell and eternity exist and heaven exists, then it will show through what you do here in this testing time called earth. I don't like that, Pastor. Good. Take it up with Jesus. He'll tell you all about me when you get there. I tried to tell you through that guy. You will be rewarded. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with a portion of your heart. You know, just give a little bit. Do enough to say you did something. No. With all your heart, as working for the Lord, not men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord. Let me give you some future insight. This week I sat down with a beautiful, beautiful couple. Unfortunately, it was in the hospice room where this young lady is near death right now as we speak. Thursday, my wife and I went to visit with her and her family. And I'm pretty sure I met Jesus in that room. She was so overjoyed with the fact that in her spirit, she has been liberated from her flesh. She got it. She said, "Pastor Nathan, I finally got all that you've been trying to tell us." She said, "I wish I could go and tell them myself." Wait, this has got scripture all over it. I'm sorry. My mind is running with it. For 7 years, she's been coming to this church. Came in, always wearing a wig. For 7 years, she's been struggling with cancer. She's 31 years old. And for the better part of the last few years, not only last year did she lead our amazing Christmas production, but she sat right over in this side, this section, giving her life away, hurting every Sunday to go in and serve those kids, serving the next generation. Here's what she said, "Nathan, my life, I have been hoping that I would at least affect somebody's life, that I would make somebody's life better." She said, "In this week alone, with all the support, all the loved ones coming from this church, all the people that are reaching out, I realized finally," she said, "Satan had a stronghold over my mind. I had no clue that I've actually been making a difference in people's lives all this time." I'm telling you right now, you don't have to wait till you're in hospice on your deathbed to figure out that you might be able to make a difference to somebody in somebody else's life if you'll just get involved in the story that God has already pre-written for you. She said, "I feel so free. I haven't lost this battle. I'm winning. I am so ready to be in the presence of Jesus." She says, "It feels great. I feel liberated." I'm telling you, we need some people in this house that are not on hospice to get a little bit liberated. I told her, I said, "Amy Lawrence is her name. Jacob Lawrence is her husband." I said, "Amy, I wish I had a church full of you. We could get some stuff done for this community, for the body of Christ. We could make some change. If Amy, she goes, "Really? You really mean that?" I said, "Amy, with all of my heart do I mean that." God has called you to something great. And that greatness may not look like your neighbor's greatness or some person you heard about or some other person on TV. But that greatness is exactly the greatness that God has assigned for you and to you since the day and even before you were born. You were thought up into existence for that greatness that God has waiting for you. The story has been written. All you have to do is to discover your design, listen to his voice, use your giftedness, come into the church, build the people up, and then go out in the community and build people up. Mature Christians aren't to come to church to receive. Mature Christians should be coming in here, can't wait to deliver and love on people and edify the body of Christ when they get to come to church. And so the immature and the developing Christian or the non-believer can actually be assisted and encouraged and edified and built up. And then the one who says they're mature, professes maturity in Christ, takes that, they go out and they're telling testimony of all they got to see. Perpetuating and cycling the blessings of God in and through their lives. Come on, somebody. Can you see it? Can we just stand up? Yes. Can we stand up? And we're getting ready to worship. Worship team, come on. But I'm telling you, until you can see something better, we'll always stay where we're at. And I'm telling you, God has so much more, and it's so much greater. And he is literally championing you right now. He champions you every day. He champions you. He's calling you. He's called you. He's got a story pre-written for you. He's asking if you'll just open up that book, start reading it, and start joining in, and everything that he will do for you, through you, from him into the lives of others. So Lord, we just thank you today. Come on, pray with me, somebody. Give us vision. Give us insight. Lord, whatever you want. We need some people in here like Isaiah. Here I am, Lord. Send me. In Jesus' name.